Hello, hello, hello. This is Misty Magdalena Grace with the new and improved version of Healthy and Wealthy and Wise, where we talk about spirituality, psychedelics, plant medicine, microdosing, and really that journey within to finding your best innate wisdom, to your best health, your best wealth, through all sorts of inner child healing, trauma release, grief recovery, overcoming addictions, and working with the mind, the body, and spirit. So go ahead, leave a review, subscribe, download. We look forward to your feedback. Thanks for tuning in today. All right, all right, all right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy post full moon. Happy almost May Day. It's crazy how fast the first part of the year is flying by. And it's been a minute since I've had a guest that wasn't my husband. So I'm really excited to have Lyndon Schaefer with me here today. And we're going to be talking about a topic that I've never officially talked about on this show. So if you guys know, I'm a medicine woman and have been sharing more and more of my journey as this podcast has been around longer than I was even in the medicine space. And plant medicine is a very powerful tool. And yet there can be some harm. There can be some issues that come up before, during, and even after a ceremony. So I'm all about education and understanding and giving you the tools to be educated, informed, and make the right decision if plant medicine is for you. But then also, what's next? What do you need to know in preparation for ceremony and after? And so, Lyndon, I'm just going to dive right in, introduce you, because I know we want to use as much of our time together to discuss this topic. And I just want to quick share a little bit about her. She's an award-winning wellness entrepreneur, a best-selling author who brings 20 plus years of experience in wellness and psychedelics. So she's my sister from another mister. We have a lot of that stuff in common, which I think is why we connected so quickly. She has an amazing community called Reveal. We're going to hear more about that at the end of this call, and is really involved in the team of the Global Psychedelic Society. So I'm so honored to have you here today. I'd love for you to share a little bit about your story and who you are and what you do.
Sure. Magdalena, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you and connect with you and your community. I am calling in today from Santa Monica, California, which sits on Tongva land. And that's something that we usually acknowledge when we're talking about plant medicine and indigenous cultures. So wanted to start there. I've been living in this part of the country for about 5 years, having spent most of my adult life in New York City. So very different vibes going from the hustle to being at the beach, a little more nature, a little more calm, which actually has really facilitated my journey with psychedelics and plant medicine in the last 5 or so years. So I've had a relationship with these medicines for 20 plus years. I was never someone who liked to drink alcohol. So I was first exposed to cannabis as a teenager, and then other psychedelics as I grew up in the club scene in New York City, as you can imagine, in the 90s. And my relationship has changed in the past, I would say 5 to 7 years, where it's been very intentional, ceremonial, working with indigenous people, working with various guides, and really doing a lot of work on myself. And my 20 plus year career in the health and wellness space has set me up to have very deep, very intentional, very safe experiences in the psychedelic space. So we can talk about that more as we talk about this super important topic today.
Yeah, that's great. I just remembered how much we have in common, because as you know, I came from the health and fitness background. So, you know, CPR certification, you know, do no harm. And as a personal trainer and also nutritionist working with people's bodies, it's a big deal. Then you throw in plant medicine, which is working with trauma, the human psyche, shadow work, and people can have repressed traumas come up. Like, this is mental, physical, spiritual medicine, emotional as well. Just want to double check here. Oh, hey, look, I always love to acknowledge the guest. And so your nephew is here.
So cute.
So amazing. That's just a general reminder, if you're listening to this later or now, just we always love to have people comment. And if you are tuning in live, comment below, hashtag live, and where you're tuning in, city and state, and we'll acknowledge you. And later on, you can ask our guest questions as well. So tell me more about, you know, how did you get involved specifically directly into harm reduction? Because I know you also have a certification in it. So
Unfortunately, the way that I got very interested in harm reduction is I started to see it everywhere, and I was not seeing it addressed. And so I have been in the health and wellness space for 20 plus years, traveling the world, partnering with different cultures for different experiences for health, wellness, self-awareness, right? Tools that help us throughout all of our walks of life, whether that be things like yoga, meditation, breath work, right? Some of these embodied practices that we do to get in touch with who we are inside and out. And those have really set the foundation for me when it comes to working with plant medicine. I have a bunch of women's communities that I'm involved with. You mentioned Reveal, which is the online women's community I run. I also run a in-person women's community with a co-host in Los Angeles. And the reason that we decided to focus on women's groups specifically is because when you enter an altered state of consciousness, if you don't feel safe in your body for whatever reason, it can be very dysregulating to be in a space with people you don't feel aligned with, people that you don't feel safe with. And it has nothing to do necessarily with your relationship with them. You might not even know these people, but there is some inherent trust that I have seen women come to spaces with other women with, because for 95% of the time, it takes a kind of sexual element off the table and it lets people relax into their bodies and feel who they are and not feel like they have to put up walls or protect themselves or go with any cultural or societal norms that they've been taught throughout the years when they're in mixed company of sorts. And unfortunately, as I started to host these women's groups and really start connecting with women across the spectrum, women have many stories of where they felt unsafe, where they felt harmed, where they felt taken advantage of. And sometimes it has nothing to do with sexual energy. It can have a lot to do with power. And many times with the way the power structures are set up, with the way our societies are changing, it's been really important for me to hold space for that harm and to help educate people on ways they can be proactive themselves in reducing their own harm in these situations.
Beautiful. See, I wish I would have known you 3.5 years ago, because as you and I have connected on this topic, I'm very passionate about it and I've alluded to it in my shows, and I'm not going to get into the details because it's we don't need to go there today, but like I felt I took 2 steps forward and 5 steps back. A lot of times I didn't have and didn't wasn't aware of the things to ask of the groups that I sat with or how to ask about integration. I didn't even know what integration was. So I know that me and my husband, we learned from that, though. It was actually a blessing that we turned some scary, quote unquote, bad experiences into blessings, because now we have 6 to 8 week containers for our groups or clients wouldn't have it any other way. But you told me about, before we got on the show, the 5 S's of how to basically have preparation, or you called it your foundational principles, the 5 S's of psychedelics. Maybe that would be a good place to start to kind of help our audience know what to do to prepare and hopefully prevent any harm from happening.
Yes. Absolutely. But before I jump into them, I just want to acknowledge the experience that you had and let you know that this is very common in the plant medicine space, right? A lot of us are introduced to some form of psychedelics throughout the years, whether it be at music festivals or you're at a party, right? And you are already starting sort of on that back foot because you haven't had time to figure out what we talk about in the space of set and setting, like where you are, do you feel safe? Who are you with? Those are things that you don't even necessarily have time to answer. And so now that the research has come out in terms of how psychedelics are helping people with various traumas, with various spiritual expansion, there is bringing to the conversation as well, like how do you set up to make sure you have the best experiences? How do you follow through to make sure you have the best experiences? So I'm very thankful that this is the conversation that we are having today in the broader space as well. So when I talk about the 5 S's of psychedelics, they are screening, which is talking about assessments and how you want to minimize risk. The second one is set, which is a mental and emotional state that you're currently in. The third is setting, which is your physical space. Like, where are you taking these medicines and what is that space like? The fourth is support. And support really dives into pre, during, and post journey, right? It's not necessarily just about the medicine experience itself, but it's about who you're working with, what you're going home to, right? Those are things that not everybody thinks about all the time. And the final S is sustainability. And we talk about that in terms of integration, community, and embodied action. So screening, set, setting, support, and sustainability. Those are the five S's.
I'm typing feverishly. And I just want to acknowledge we have a few more eyeballs on the show. If you are tuning in and you see value in this topic today, please hit the share button. Depending on where you're seeing it on YouTube, you can just, you know, copy and paste and share. If you're on my Facebook fan page, you can hit the share button. This could save a life, guys. I'm not even kidding, because to your point, I see it now. I didn't see it my first year of medicine, maybe because, again, I was like in a fog of healing. But in the second, third, and now fourth year, I've had doctors and other people say to me, yeah, I'm working with patients right now who were destabilized because of a plant medicine ceremony, or they thought that this ayahuasca ceremony was going to change their life because that's what they read about online. And now they're, you know, they're going through a fear or trauma loop and just not doing well. And I've heard countless other examples. So that's why we're talking about this today, is to build the awareness, because it's a wild, wild west out there. And not just because we're in California, but it's the wild, wild west all over the world when it comes to this kind of, it's almost become like a craze. I heard someone tell me a stat when I started sitting with medicine, there was maybe 200 ayahuasca ceremonies in per weekend in LA. And now there's like 500, or it's quadrupled or something crazy like that. And so I don't know what you've seen in the space. Obviously you've been doing this and partaking a lot longer than I have too. So I just wanted to put a little bit more context out there of our conversation and the importance of it today.
Yes, and I think that is actually a great place to jump in to talking about the first S, which is screening. 15 years ago, when I was introduced to various forms of plant medicine, ayahuasca was really the thing that everyone was talking about. They weren't really talking about a lot of the other plant medicines or psychedelics or classic psychedelics that are known today. And I think it's because people were traveling to Peru, right? And this is how they were going into the medicine. And they were saying they were feeling called to it, which, yes, people can definitely be called to certain medicines at certain times in their lives. But there also wasn't a lot of information or places to ask questions. And so I think that's something that's super important now, that very first step of screening. Mm-hmm. And we talk about screening, whether it's someone like me, who's, I consider myself a seeker, right? Somebody who's seeking out a guide or seeking out a tribe of people to work with, or a guide like someone like you who guides people through these journeys. There's a lot of questions to ask from both sides, right? So I just wanted to go through some of them so people can start to get a sense, because as we say all the time, you don't know what you don't know. And so if someone isn't talking about these things, how do you even have a basis or this foundation from where to begin? So I think it's important for both a guide and a seeker to talk about their history, whether it's mental health history, physical history, traumas with a capital T or a small T, if you're going into this for spiritual expansion, right? And ask yourself, is the client or I or me as the seeker, do I have the psychological flexibility and stability to be totally thrown out of whack? Right? Because we talk about how destabilizing these medicines can be. And so you have to have an honest conversation with yourself. And I don't see people asking this question enough, whether it's guide or whether it's people to themselves. Am I prepared for whatever I'm feeling to get worse before it gets better? I think this is a huge question that we don't ask enough, because as you just pointed out, Magdalena, things can come up. And that's what plant medicine and psychedelics show you. They show you things, they show you a path, but it doesn't mean they're giving you the tools to deal with what comes up. And that's where the rest of the work comes in, right? So you have to go in to these experiences asking yourself, you know, if you're grieving, if you're dealing, being a survivor of something, if you are, you know, leaving family or religion or whatever it is, right? Whatever your reasons for doing these plant medicines, am I prepared for there to be much harder work on the other side of this experience? And be honest with yourself. Maybe that will tell you you're not ready. Maybe that will tell you you need to do some more work in other ways, whether that be therapy, whether that be movement of some kind, right? Maybe there's practices that you need to figure out how to regulate your nervous system. Like, what kind of wellness tools do you have to go into these experiences? So I think that's a big bucket that we need to focus on and people don't ask themselves enough.
Thank you. Yeah. And can I ask one more clarifier? Cause I think I know what you mean, but the audience may not. And thank you. That was beautiful. Because especially since you brought in the central nervous system, you and I having health and fitness backgrounds, and even with me having that background, right, I went in and didn't think about my central nervous system and how messed up it was going to be and bringing up that trauma, you know, just you're sometimes you're reliving it. And then you're walking out of there open and rewounded in a lot of ways. So I didn't think about meditation, breath work. Thankfully, I was seeing a chiropractor who's very holistic and integrative and does a lot of emotional kind of like trauma work, but that was my only saving grace. So when you said the words trauma, you said with a capital T or a little T, can you clarify what that means?
Sure. And I'm not a trauma expert, so please be kind. Typically, when people talk about trauma with a big T, it is something like a sexual assault. It is something like leaving a cult or religious organization where you have huge exit costs and you're no longer with your community, right? Those are examples of big T's. People who, I'm one of these people, although I didn't have as much to do with it at the time, I lived through 9/11 in New York, right? These are big T's. Little traumas or little traumas with little T's are things that happen to us throughout our lifetime. Someone was mean to you, you know, in a meeting and you're still holding on to it a year later. You and your partner broke up and while it's devastating, you've moved on, right? These are things that sometimes we carry with us and some of them need more work and more professional work to help come to terms with, and others, you know, something like plant medicine without necessarily the full support can help you come to terms with those kinds of things.
Beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate that. Just great to, and I'm not a trauma expert either, but I know that can help. So I love that. Thank you. So for screening, yeah. And I will say this, guys, like with me and what I, thanks to my experience, again, my intake form is like really long and people feel like they're being somewhat interrogated and going into like a, you know, surgery. And I'm like, yeah, this is like psychic surgery. This is like, you know, we need to know all of the things, mental health and medical safety first, do no harm. And it also helps them think about, oh gosh, this is more serious than I thought, as opposed to going and sitting with your friends and popping mushrooms, right? It's a big deal. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, there's so much that can be talked about, right, in this concept of screening and setting yourself up to have a good experience. I love that you have an assessment because not all guides do. So I think it's very important when you talk about an assessment is, you know, medical history, you know, there's a lot of questions that can be asked. I think some of the questions that aren't always top of mind is how safe is your home environment, right? What are you going back into after this experience? Do the people in your house, whether it's partners, roommates, family, do they know you're going to do this experience? And are there plans in place for them to support you? You know, say you do come home and you feel upset or dysregulated and you need a hug or you need someone to leave you alone, right? These are conversations that need to happen beforehand so that you are not, you know, to use this word trauma that we're throwing around, you're not re-traumatized, right? Well, because you're so open, you want to be coming back into a safe place. You want to have a plan in place, right? For all of this kind of stuff. So I think those are some things from a guide perspective that need to be asked. In terms of being a seeker and sort of vetting, whether it's your guide or your group or whoever it is that you're going to work with, I think there's also a lot of questions that need to be asked in the screening process. Mm-hmm. And I think as the seeker, people get very excited. Oh, I found this person I like. Oh, I found this medicine I like. I'm going to go do it next weekend. But I think we need to take, you know, a bit of a step back. And the first thing you need to ask yourself is why this medicine and why right now? And what does that bring up for you? Is it something like, oh, it's just trendy and then someone invited me? That might not be the right reason to do it, right? Yeah. So it doesn't mean you should say no, but I think it's important to examine that within yourself. I think it's also important to meet with whoever's leading you through these experiences once, twice, three times, as many times as you need to, in order to build trust and feel comfortable with that person, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's this other thing specifically for women that we're taught to ignore our intuition or not pay attention to it. So I think it's important for people to tune in to their bodies when they're talking to potential guides and literally just ask yourself, like, how do I feel when I'm talking to this person? Do I feel anxious? Do I feel nervous? You know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong person. It could be the subject matter. It could be anything. But I think it's important to stop and acknowledge, like, literally, how am I feeling? How are the vibes of this conversation? Is this person making me uncomfortable? And I think it's that comes with practice. But I think it's something that's very important to tune into.
Love that. Yeah. Thank you so much. Cause I do feel like because of the trendiness of it, it's kind of, I'll use this as an example. I think you'll appreciate this. When I was a marathon runner and a marathon coach, way back in the day, 24 years ago, you know, it wasn't a thing, you know, within about 3 to 4 years. So ironically, kind of similar to plant medicine, but within 3 to 4 years, everybody and their brother was doing a marathon. And there was a lot of FOMO if they missed the marathon, right? Fear of missing out. Well, my friend's doing it. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I don't go and do it with my buddy? I've seen that a lot. And I admittedly, I did some of that. So I'm so glad that you brought that up because of the trendiness of it and people not knowing what they don't know. They're just jumping in and not asking all these questions and thinking and sitting with that.
Well, and there's that FOMO too, right? Especially if it's a special experience sometimes. People are like, oh, I don't want to miss out on this. I actually had somebody in our community today reach out to me and say, oh, you know, I have this opportunity. I'm not really sure I'm ready for it yet. Like, you know, but I think maybe I'll do it because it's being offered. And I said to this person, you know, check in with yourself. And you should also know that this thing that you're looking to do is going to be offered again. So if now is not the right time, then next time. And that person who is experienced in medicine said to me, you know what, you're right. I don't have to do it next week. I can wait a month. Right. And so even when we know these things, it's good to be reminded.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right. Well, let's keep going. Let's talk
some more. So, yeah, the more S's. So we can move through these quickly. Set is something that we talk about a lot in the psychedelic space. And set refers to your mental and emotional state, right? Like, where are you right now in your mindset? Mm-hmm. Are you going into these kind of things? The example I can give is I heard a story of somebody who just broke up with a partner who was in a long-term relationship, and they had a ceremony scheduled for the weekend. And they went ahead and did it, and it was the wrong decision because they were already so out of whack, but they had paid for this, right? There's all these other factors, and they ignored that intuition of like, maybe I should find a way to hold off on this because maybe this isn't going to be good for me right now. So I think it's really important to check in. Like, how are you feeling? How are you setting yourself up? We talk a lot about this when we talk about preparation, right? Is it the week before, the month before? You know, what is it are you consuming? What is occupying your brain space? And how do you shift all of that so that you're in a space that feels calm, collected, comfortable, and as balanced as possible?
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you for that. I think a lot of people, myself included, I read Michael Pollan's book. That was the first thing I did. That was my research. I was just reading that book. And I remember them talking about set and setting, and I didn't really understand that. So I'm grateful for you to share that definition, because I think most of us look at, and because I was in the sales industry for 20 years and self-help and even personal training, you know, a lot of times people will go and do an intense workout class or a Tony Robbins webinar or workshop or retreat just because, you know, or maybe they just had a big traumatic event and they think this is going to help, you know? So I really appreciate how you define that.
Yeah. And then the third one, setting, refers to the physical space, right, that you're going to inhabit. And whether that means like the place, literally the place that you're going to, is it a yoga studio? Is it an Airbnb? Is it in the jungle? You know, where is it that you are physically going to be? And what is physically around you? Are you going to be solo? Are you doing this in a group? Are you doing it with a group of people you don't know? Are you doing it with a group of people you do know? Do you have your creature comforts, right? Like, do you get sensitive to light? So do you need an eye mask and sunglasses? Do you get sensitive to sound? Do you think earplugs would help you? You know, these are all the, do you have a special like crystal or something you like to bring with you that signifies safety, right? These are things that are very important to ask. I read an article because plant medicine is being so trendy, and I understand the way that everyone wants to help is many people do go into these experiences and they have these amazing breakthroughs and they just want everyone to try it. And I read an article lately of a CEO of a company that had this experience, and then he required all of his employees to go back with him to do this. And to me, I just was like, oh my God, so many red flags in that little statement there. Good intentioned possibly from the CEO, but wrong setting, in my opinion. And then that goes back to what we're talking about, some of the power struggle that I mentioned before. If someone like your boss is requiring you to do this, you can't really say no because you feel like you're going to lose your job. And there's a lot of lines that get crossed. So figuring out your setting, you know, who you're going to be with in addition to the physical space, I think is really important.
Yeah. And I know, I'll just throw this out there, part of it, because I didn't know what I didn't know. And I hear these horror stories of people saying, I have to go to the jungle. I have to be with the shaman. And then later on, I'm not even going to say some of the horrific things, but, you know, it was really a traumatic experience because they didn't, being traveling that far away, number one, that's a big deal to get into a plane and go to a place you've never been before. And then coming back and integration and a lot of that kind of stuff. But it was just, it wasn't safe. They just had bad experiences. So I think it's great for people to also know that you don't have to go to the jungle and you can find safe spaces here in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you could work up to that jungle if you'd like. Yeah. But myself having a career in the wellness and travel industry as well, you know, that's something I talk about a lot when people travel for these experiences is like, yes, I understand you're going for 7-10 days, whatever it is, right? But you really need to build in additional days before and after so that you can land, right? You can ground, you can come out of that experience. And it's not just going from a completely different environment, right back on a plane, right back into your life as it is, right? That is such a hard transition.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful.
So the fourth S is support. A guide of mine has always said to me, and this has stuck with me, is the second you decide to work with medicine is when your integration begins. And I think it's such a beautiful concept because we talk about building relationships with these medicines when you're doing these medicines intentionally. And oftentimes, the longer you work with them, the deeper you can work with them. Oftentimes, using less of the actual medicine itself, right? Because you learn how to get yourself back into the space. But having support pre, during, and post journey is what's going to create this container of safety for you, whatever that looks like for you, right? And it's not, like I said, it's not just about the guide and the people that you're with, but it's again, how are you feeling? How are you preparing? Are you going to feel safe when you get there? Are you with trusted people? And then when you come home, is there this plan of support? Is there this plan of integration, right? Like you said, for some people that is having physical touch. So having your chiropractic appointment lined up or having a deep tissue massage or acupuncture, right? Or something like that. For some people, it's talk therapy. And there's a lot of psychedelic assisted therapists out there that specialize in talk therapy, but also just talking to a therapist, someone who is trained, or a life coach that you trust and that you have a relationship with, right? These are plans of support to have on the back end, which is really important.
Yeah, I love that. And even like having those listed out and emergency contacts for people during the ceremony and stuff like that, it's also key to think about that. I want to get your thoughts on this really quickly because it just was popping in my head. I've been to ceremonies where there's like 20 to 30 people, right? So maybe talk about the ratio even and what are the pros and cons of support of maybe a private one-on-one work, which is something that we are big fans of, or just even asking what's the support like within the container? Like what's the ratio? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so it's across the board what we see, right? Because and everybody can do this, right? There are licenses that are happening, there are steps that you should take, but unfortunately, as we know, people have an experience and they come back and want to serve their friend's medicine. So people are having these experiences across the board. I think, you know, things that you have to consider, unfortunately, cost is an issue. When you're working with a trained therapist who's, you know, been to graduate school and has PhDs and things like that, they're going to be more money. And that's just because of a lot of the training that they're, you know, having to now pay back for. And then you have another spectrum of someone who is guiding and their prices are slightly lower. They might have just as much training, but maybe it's experiential, right? And they've literally been sitting at the feet of their teachers instead of going to school. And so in a traditional way. So like, that's one thing we do have to consider, cost. Oftentimes who you work with that will determine the cost. Whether you're doing it in a group or whether you're doing it in a more private setting will definitely determine the cost. On that as well. The other thing that's really important, and is probably for me the driving factor, is the energy exchange. And if you're somebody who you know what that means, or if you're sensitive to energy, or if you've ever panicked, if you've been in a place that's too crowded, right? You have to think about the same thing of like, okay, I'm going into a ceremony where I'm going to be in an altered state of consciousness. I'm not going to be in what I feel is my normal right mind. If there's too many people, do I think I'll panic even more, right? So these are some things you have to think about when it comes to, you know, who's going to be in the room. I know some of the retreat centers out there, primarily in Costa Rica, are the ones that I'm referring to. A lot of them have like this one-to-one ratio. And it's not always a guide or a shaman that's the one-to-one, but they have facilitators, right? So there's all these different kind of levels of training that you can have. And somebody serving a medicine is one level of training. And then someone facilitating or making sure the community's safe and is not serving, but is just there as like a body in their right mind who could call that emergency contact if needed. You know, one-to-one or one to two, right? One facilitator to two seekers is the ratio that seems to, while expensive across all platforms, seems to be the one that people feel the most safe with.
Yeah, I just want to mention this last thing before we move on to the rest and maybe the final S. Don't cheap out on this experience, guys. If I could go back, and again, I can't. Hindsight's always 20/20, but I learned so much. It ended up costing me multiple five figures to become a medicine woman. And it wasn't because I went to college, right? But it felt like it. But it was because I did go for the quote unquote cheaper route, where I went to the group ceremonies where there might've been 15, 20 people plus. Whereas there was no integration, there wasn't any support or preparation, the five S's, I didn't again know about them. And I ended up having to spend way more on the back end, finding integration coaches, going and doing a lot of trauma release, going and doing a lot of breath work, joining different groups to be able to get the support that I had been missing and didn't know it. So if you're sitting with someone who just started serving because they went and did a ceremony and they think, gosh, I want to help people, don't sit with them. Run. And then number two is I would really encourage the one-on-one and just, you know, you'll actually probably do a lot less damage, but you'll also get a lot more value. So you get what you pay for. I just wanted to put that little PSA out there.
Yeah. And just to continue on that, because I agree, it's very interesting as we've seen in this space, is just because someone's charging you a bunch of money doesn't mean that they're the right guide for you either. right? 100%. And so it comes back to the feeling that you have. And I think it's really important what you just mentioned is the questions that you can ask this person, regardless of how much they charge, is how long have you been serving this medicine? And how long have you been sitting with this medicine? Because if someone is serving you medicine, they don't sit with themselves, like, no, that is not a situation you should ever put yourself in.
Yeah. And I would, the last thing, we could probably go for 5 hours. I'm going to have you back on the show. I just decided. But the last thing is too, if someone says they're a medicine person and then you ask them, oh, what medicine do you serve? And they're like the guy who has the big trench coat that's opening up and he's got all of the bells and whistles and says, I serve all of them. Run. That's just my thought. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Oh, yes. And like you said, we could talk about this forever. But as I mentioned in the very beginning, right, we build relationships with these medicines. And so I do think one has an advantage if you're finding a guide who maybe serves 2 to 3 medicines and they've been working with them for a long time, because they have that deep relationship with the medicine.
Yeah, I know. That's why I knew I wanted to be returning back into this body in this lifetime. I knew I'd been a medicine woman and a witch and all these things in many past lives. So when I figured it out, I was like, oh, wait, I'm back doing this again. But wait, I got to heal. So I sat like over 50 times with psilocybin before I started serving it, you know? So that's another thing is just make sure you ask, because I didn't do that either. But that's kind of going back to screening, but I just wanted
It's related.
Yeah. But it goes with the support, because you also are getting support from these beings who are serving you. And so it's important to know all that. All right. Yeah. I'll let you carry on.
All right. And the last S of the 5 S's of psychedelics is the sustainability portion, right? And so for anyone who's ever had a medicine experience, you can be feeling those effects physically, emotionally, mentally for years to come. Now, I don't say that to scare you. This could be beautiful things that keep coming up, beautiful things you keep recognizing. But therefore, it's important. It's not like you take these medicines and it's one and done, right? Okay, done, all healed. Not how it works. And it's not a linear process, and it doesn't work on a timeline as much as we want it to. And so it's really important to be able to come back into a community of people who understand, who have been experimenting with these things, maybe guiding these things, right? People you can come back to talk to about your experiences, ask questions to help them, help you maybe make meaning of certain things that happen, or even recognize like, yeah, wasn't that a crazy experience? Who knows what that meant? But to have that connection with a community of people that understand will help you properly get that sustained support. And then we talk a lot about integration. Integration is such a big topic. It means many things to many people. You could probably go online and find many integration circles for free that you can log on to. And basically that is people coming together in a room to talk about something that happened, because that's how we learn from each other, right? With the storytelling and wisdom earned, right? Through talking. There's also embodied action, which is part of the integration groups that I run, where we have all these wellness tools. Some of them we've mentioned already, things like yoga and meditation, right? Last night in the group that I taught them the emotional freedom technique, or the tapping technique. So if you have any wellness background and know what that means, it's a physical sensation, right? Where you can tap yourself in certain points to help regulate your nervous system and get back into your body. Because talking is amazing, but we can't always make sense of our experiences, and we hold them in the body, right? The famous book and the famous saying, the body keeps score, right? Sometimes the medicine brings things out in our body that we don't even know that either we've been holding on to or even there in the first place. And so having a community, talking about your experiences and having some of these embodied practices where you can physically feel safe in your body again are the way that you can sustainably keep working with these experiences after you've actually sat with the medicine.
Amen. Hear. That's why in my integration online program, you know, I have meditation, breath work, and kundalini yoga, all very embodied, but then also talking about the nutrition, how to nourish your mind and your body after something intense like that. It's so good. Beautiful. Well, anything else that you want to share before we wrap it up, Lyndon?
Yeah, I would just like to say, these medicines have been around for a long time and they're going to continue to be around. So for anyone who's choosing to embark on this kind of experience, I think a lot of it begins with trusted relationships, right? And trusted relationship with yourself is the first place to start. I think that's something that's super important. And then as you continue to find people who are working in the space, find people in community. If you're looking for community, I'll give a shout out to the Global Psychedelic Society, which I'm a part of. If you go onto their website, they have a map where you can look at communities around the globe where people come together around these topics. And they come around together around these topics for this purpose, for education and harm reduction, right? So there's communities that you can find out there. And I think you build your trusted relationships from there. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to say no or move on.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. Well, we got a quick word from our sponsor, and then I want you guys to stick around to hear how you can get a hold of Lyndon. And I just have one closing question for you, so don't go away.
Healthy and Wealthy and Wise is proudly sponsored by The Soul Vine, your number one go-to source for ayahuasca microdosing. This ayahuasca is legal. It is the Kapi vine. There is no DMT extract or molecule as a part of it, and it can and will transform your life from the inside out. Supporting the Shipibo tribe from South America, this is my go-to source for healing. Learn more at microdosingforhealth.com.
Yay. Well, Lyndon, before I ask you our closing question, where can people find you and share your website, anything that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. So if you're interested in joining Reveal, which is a global women's community, you can check out our website at www.revealcommunity.world. And we have a special offer that's going to come to the women of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, which we'll put in the show notes. We're very excited to have you join us. And if you're looking to reach me, you can find me on LinkedIn under Lyndon Schaefer, LyndonSchaefer. I am a community architect and consultant in the wellness and psychedelic space. So building out these kind of communities, keeping people safe, helping guides with the back end of their business. Looking forward to people who are entrepreneurs in this space, connecting with them as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I know I don't really talk about it a lot, but Healthy and Wealthy and Wise has, been the name of my show ever since its inception in 2020. And Lyndon, I always ask every guest, when you hear the phrase healthy and wealthy and wise, what does it mean for you?
You know, it's something I talk about this a lot, is it's a practice, right? We're never at the end of any of these things. It is something that we continuously drop into, and it evolves throughout our time. And so you have to kind of put that into practice.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Again, audience, I hope you gained a lot of value today. Such a timely topic, as I know more and more people are looking and getting into the medicine space, both as guides and participants. So share this with someone that you know and care about. Maybe someone who's thinking about medicine, maybe someone who's thinking about serving medicine, maybe someone who had a bad experience and wants support and wants to better understand, what happened for them and how they could seek out someone like Lyndon or myself to get the help that they deserve. So until next time, guys, here's to your best health, your best wealth, and trusting your best wisdom. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Please subscribe, download, leave a 5-star rating or review, and also please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from this inspirational message. We hope to see you again. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel or join my Facebook community. And if you are looking to manifest your best health, your best wealth by trusting your best wisdom within, please go to my website, www.microdosingforhealth.com. Again, www.microdosingforhealth.com. To quiet your mind, get into your heart, heal your body, and manifest your best health and your best wealth.